Blog Talk Radio.
You miss me? I miss all of y'all. Hey! All y'all girls standing together like that. Keep hey! Shaking.
Tonight, I am your host, Coach Terrence Wood, in the BYGP locker room, and we have a fabulous guest tonight for our audience of aspiring football players and family and friends. And this guest is somebody that is so good for us because he's seen things on both sides of the fence. He's seen things in the football industry as a player, but also now as a coach for San Diego State University, and that is Coach Tony White. And I think we already have Coach White on the line with us. Let's see if we can get him in here. Hello,
yep,
Coach White. Can you hear us?
Yes, perfect. I can.
Great. Well, we're excited to have you on tonight, Coach, and I know this is your first time in the BYGP locker room. This is a company that focuses on working with young football players from a mental, moral, social and academic standpoint. A lot of kids on the line tonight that are wondering what it takes to get in position to receive a scholarship. So we appreciate having you on tonight.
No, I appreciate you guys for having me on. I know that there's plenty of people that can be on, and anything that can I can do to give back to the game that has given so much to me, I'll gladly do. So thank you.
We appreciate that, Coach. So I know you're busy. Obviously, you're busy year-round, but you guys are fighting for wins right now in the Mountain West Conference, so we don't want to keep you long. So let's get right into it. For those that don't know you, Coach White, where are you originally from?
Well, I was born in Florida, and then I grew up in Queens, New York. And I stayed there all through my elementary school years and everything, and then ended up going and moving to Texas to play middle school and high school football. And I was very fortunate, lucky enough to, at the last minute, to get a scholarship out of El Paso, Texas to UCLA. And since 1997 in UCLA days, I've been in California ever since. So
talk to us a little bit about playing football in Texas. Obviously, Before You Go Pro is a California-based company, but we know that there's great athletes in Texas. Did you feel pressure, Coach, to play football in high school?
You know, I didn't feel any pressure, but you can see why. You know, my first memories there in Texas was meeting the football coaches, and the structure is very I mean, it's in place and it's working. You play Pop Warner ball, and then you end up going to a feeder middle school that feeds into that local high school right there. And sure enough, you know, when I transferred into the local middle school, and after my first season in seventh grade, the high school coaches had already come to see me and make sure that I was going to that next high school and do all that kind of stuff. And it was kind of cool because the system that the high school ran is the same system that the middle school ran. So, you know, it was like a little introduction into football and all that kind of stuff that you were going to see in high school. So the structure, the way they do it from all levels, from, you know, Pop Warner to the middle schools playing organized football in middle school to high school, it's pretty cool. And you can see why those guys grow up and Texas football is so important to those guys.
Definitely. And did you play other sports when you were in high school, Coach, or did you stick solely to football?
Oh, no, I was a three-sport athlete. My first year, I actually I played football, then I went to basketball and wrestling for a little bit, and then I went to track and field. And then the rest of my career on, I was football, basketball, and track. So I couldn't just sit around and do nothing, you know what I'm saying? So I had to do something.
you're a busy guy, huh?
Yeah, it kept me out of trouble, put it that way.
Definitely. We hear you, Coach. So in today's times, and I'm sure you're aware of this, a lot of kids, they specialize in football or baseball or basketball. Do you think that's something that's wise, or do you think kids should still play multi-sports in high school?
You know, that's a tough question. I get that a lot. And, you know, we are all sums of our own experiences. And me personally, I'm really a big fan of young athletes going out there and just doing what they enjoy doing, you know. And if that's playing multiple sports, then, hey, go out there and play multiple sports, because there's an argument for and against either way, you know. In my personal experience, the things I did in basketball, in terms of, I mean, basketball players, they ran and jumped and changed directions. That made me a better football player, you know, and along with the competition aspect, always competing. And then in track and field, you know, it's a one-on-one deal. And so you're up there, and it's a totally different than a team sport. That's an individual sport. So all eyes are on you. So you're really developing that little competitive single, you know, individual competitiveness that you can create on upon yourself. So I'm a fan of playing multiple sports. I think just the lessons and the athletic movements and the skill and the conditioning, all the stuff in all those other sports make you a better athlete. Not necessarily a football player, because like you said, people are becoming so specialized, you know, receivers, DBs, doing all this 7-on-7 work in the off season and everything. Do I think they're becoming better football players? I think they're becoming better wide receivers or better defensive backs or better running backs, you know, whatever they're particularly specializing in. But I don't know if it makes you a better overall athlete, you know what I mean? So I'm just a big fan of doing whatever guys just want to go out there and do, as long as they're happy and they're competing.
Does, from a coaching standpoint, do you guys give a notch up or any kind of extra credit for a kid who is a multi-sport star, or does it not matter from a coaching standpoint?
You know, that's one of the first things I ask. If I see a young man that I like on film or whatever, besides the academic question, the next question is always, is he a multi-sport guy? Just because usually in college, you never know, for the most part, you never know with these guys. Some guys develop and their move positions and all that kind of stuff. And a guy, in our experiences and my experience, if you get a guy who's used to only playing wide receiver his whole life, you know, instead of a guy who's just been out there just doing whatever his team needed him, or just playing all kinds of sports, you know, the guy who's done more and been a part of more is usually able to transition into doing that easier, you know, going to college and playing a different position, as opposed to the guy who's only learned wide receiver, who's only played wide receiver, who's only practiced wide receiver, and you make him a DB and he has no, he doesn't have the skill set there. Or it's going to take him so long to develop the skill set that he might not be, you know, he might not help you for a couple of years, and nowadays coaches don't have that long to wait. So, you know, that's basically what it is.
Great point, Coach. We appreciate you sharing that. And let's kind of rewind back to your recruiting experience. What options did you have coming out of El Paso?
Well, I had committed to Oklahoma State. I had University of Texas, El Paso, UTEP. I had North Texas. And that was basically it, New Mexico State, you know, really, really in that region, because back then they didn't have – the scouting services weren't as big, and El Paso is a place that not very many people went to. So I was fortunate to have those four or five offers. I committed to Oklahoma State, and at the very last second, UCLA was recruiting a quarterback in our city that was like the ESPN number 5 quarterback in the country. His name is Edmund Stansberry. Great athlete, big, strong, you know, three-sport athlete. Well, he had committed to UCLA, and so the coach was down there looking at him, and believe it or not, his high school coach said that, you know, that UCLA should take a look at me. And so they did, and within a matter of literally 1 week, I went from being committed to Oklahoma State to being committed to UCLA.
Wow, so that's a great story right there that Coach shared with us for all you young kids listening. He impressed his opposing high school team so much that their coach actually referred him to the UCLA coaches. Now, you're a coach right now with San Diego State. Do you find that dynamic yourself where opposing teams will say that they think that this player is a kid that you need to check out?
Oh, yeah, man. There's a lot of coaches out there that the guys who are doing it the right way, which a lot of them are, the huge majority of these coaches are doing it the right way. Anytime you got a question about any young man, they're happy to give their opinion, because we're all in this for them. We're all in this for the young men, their development, their opportunity at the next level. So that plays huge, because if an opposing coach is able to talk good about, you know, that player, and if he had that much of an impact on the game and all that kind of stuff, then it does bode well for that young man.
Sweet. Thanks for sharing that with us. Now, you obviously chose UCLA, and it turned out great for you. You were a 3-year starter up there, team captain your senior year. What was it, Coach, about UCLA that made you say, hey, I'm going to go out west and try my shot in Westwood?
Well, it was the best fit for me, and that's the word that we use in recruiting the most nowadays all across the universities is fit. You know, when you step on campus or when you take your visits and stuff, every campus has a certain feel. Every football program has a certain mantra about it. And, you know, when I took my trip to UCLA, I felt it. You know, I felt it there. I felt like I belonged there. I felt like I needed to be there. And sitting down after all the trips and thinking about it, and that's where I needed to be. And so I made that decision. But it was an entire program, entire place, everything decision for me. So
did academics qualify into your decision? Was that a factor, Coach?
You know what? It was, like I said, it's always a bigger deal with the parents in terms of players. You know how that goes. Players just want uniforms. They want to be able to see the depth chart and play. They want to be able to play them on TV in big games. But more so, my mom, number one, was the first one. Well, you know, UCLA is a great academic school known throughout the world. So my stepmom, same deal. So the academic side definitely was heard loud and clear.
And refresh my memory, were you under Coach Donahoe or Coach Toledo?
I was under Coach Toledo, yeah.
Okay. And was there anything particular about Coach Toledo that you signed up for, or did you take a liking to your position, Coach? Was there a particular coach that helped sway you to UCLA?
No, it was just, like I said, the overall feel, you know, because I had already taken two trips before, I kind of got a feel of what it was like, what was going to happen and all that stuff. So really it was me and my mom. We went on the visit and we were just walking around and observing, and really, like I said, guys know when they step on campus, they know, you know, they get a feel. No matter what anybody tells you, no matter what they're hearing, they get a feel, a true feel. And, you know, from day one, as soon as I stepped off the plane in California, first time, you know, seeing the campus, understanding what they were about, you know, hearing all the great stuff there was happening at UCLA. And, it was just an easy decision for me once I stepped off the plane.
Now, I know a lot of kids, you played at a pretty high level of college, Coach. A lot of kids aspire to play at that level, and some get the chance to. And when they get there, they find out that there's a lot of kids just like them, and the mm-hmm. depth chart is stacked. What type of advice, because it seems like you climbed the depth chart pretty fast at UCLA, what type of advice could you give a high school freshman or college freshman about catching the coach's attention?
Now that's the biggest thing that a coach nowadays has to deal with, because all the recruiting services and everything, all the publicity football is getting, it really pumps up, you know, really pumps up egos. It really pumps up the confidence of the young men. And what happens is in high school, very few and far between end up transitioning from high school to college and making a huge impact right away. It usually doesn't happen. You know, for the huge, vast majority, there's always that transitional period where they're not the biggest, they're not the fastest, they're not the strongest, they're not the smartest. And the key is, you know, for me, the key was that I was just smart. I was low maintenance. You know, you just go in there, you just put your head down, you do what they tell you to do, you learn, and you, like I said, you assimilate. You know, you get in there, you see how they want you to do things, and you do it. And if you go in there and you're high maintenance and you don't learn and you don't do those little things, it's going to make everybody's, you know, day bad. So it's important to understand that that's going to happen to the vast majority of college players transitioning from high school to college, is that they're not going to be the biggest, they're not going to be the fastest, they're not going to be the strongest. But if they see and they do as they're taught, and really buy into the program and be low maintenance, then the chances of them stepping on the field or the chances of them transitioning are a lot higher, a lot easier than if they're resisting, want to do stuff their own way, not listening, not caring, all those kind of things. So,
great point, Coach. Now, for you, you obviously caught the attention of your coaches and your teammates to label you a team captain. What do you think was the biggest attribute that you had that gave you the nod to be a team captain your senior year?
You know what? I play with some great athletes, some big athletes, some strong, some fast. The only two things I can say, you know, that I was proud of those guys picking me as captains is I was honored is, number one, I took pride in knowing what the heck was going on. So I was, and that's the only reason why I played as a freshman, is because I learned the system fast. I learned the defensive scheme fast. I learned how they wanted me to do things fast. You know, so there was no, somebody didn't have to yell at me two times before I got it. You know, I'd sit there and was taking reps mentally, watching practice, getting calls, and understanding what they're yelling at them. They're basically yelling at me. So I assimilated fast, number one. Number two, you know, I just wanted the guys to know I was going to be there for them. I wanted to bust my butt, not for myself, but for my teammates, and make sure that they knew that I was going to be there. I was going to do what I was supposed to do to help those guys win. And I was very fortunate to be picked captain, and I think that those two reasons played a big part of it.
Great point, Coach. And for those that are just joining us, we are having the pleasure tonight to talk to Coach Tony White. He's the defensive backs coach at San Diego State University, and he's graced us with some of his time tonight. You can actually feel free to call in. The number is 310-807-5195. And we won't keep you long tonight, Coach, but I know the kids and parents appreciate it. As far as having a shot at the next level, was that something that was on your radar when you were at UCLA, an NFL opportunity, or did you always know you were going to get into coaching?
You know what? I was just a coach who was lucky enough to play as long as I did. I always, in high school, I saw my coaches and everything, and I knew I wanted to coach back in high school, But you know, I was just lucky. I was lucky to get a scholarship to UCLA. I was lucky to be able to play in Canada for a couple of years, and so I always knew that once my career was over, I wanted to coach immediately. So that was something that was already there. And in 2005, I had a chance to go back and play in Canada or play in the Arena Football League, and I turned both down, and I ended up becoming a high school head coach in LA, and then for a year while I was waiting to become a graduate assistant, then Carl Durrell and Bob Field over at UCLA allowed me to become a GA in 2007. And then in 2008, I was at the University of New Mexico with Coach Long. And then 2009, I've been here since 2009. So I was really lucky to be in the right place, right time. But I always knew that I wanted to be a coach from day one, from high school.
Yeah, and I was doing my fact-finding before this show, and I was going to bring it up off-air, but I figured you were with Coach Durrell, and special shout-out to Coach Durrell at Vanderbilt. He actually coached me at the University of Colorado, so we have a little synergy there. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, man, he's a great guy. Great guy.
Yeah, yeah, and I know you're with Jay Sean Sykes now and Coach McDaniel, so we'll definitely be in contact with you, Coach, because I played with Jay Sean and Coach McDaniel recruited my younger brother, so I'm sure it's a small world, this football industry.
That it is. Yeah, that it is. That's what they always say.
So, Coach, talk to us a little bit before we let you go here about the recruiting process. Do you guys believe in kids going to the combines and the camps and participating in the 7-on-7 tournaments?
You know, it's a new era for football. Like I said, back in the day, even I'm talking about back in the day, and I'm 35, you know, but back when we were getting recruited and stuff, you know, all this stuff wasn't there. The 7-on-7 leagues, the scout.coms, rivals, all that kind of stuff wasn't there. And so you had to do, you know, it was just all word of mouth. Nowadays, with all the recruiting services, with all the means, social media of getting your name out there, you know, it's all about selling yourself as a brand, basically. You got to be able to get your name out there any way, shape, fashion, or form for college coaches to see you, to know who you are, because that's all it really is. You know, that's all those things are doing, is allowing us as coaches to see a name. And once we have a name, then we have the curiosity of who is that, and that's all it takes. And then from there, it's 100% what they do on their high school film. So, yeah, I mean, you know, always a fan of competition, always a fan of making yourself better. And in the meantime, like I said, you get a chance to make your name known in public, and that would give yourself a better chance to get recruited.
Coach, do you guys find, the coaching staff at San Diego State, do you guys find it harder to judge a kid's character today? Is that something that's on you guys' radar right now?
Oh, no. It's actually, with all the social media, we feel like it's much easier because, of course, when you get young men here on campus or when during the correct periods when you're allowed to go see them and all that kind of stuff, you get a feel, but also – When they're around us and we're around them, they act different. We know they're putting their best foot forward and all that kind of stuff. So with all the social media, you know, sometimes the young men don't understand that college coaches are looking at that hard. You know, we're with the way and the shape of college football growing and all the money being put into it, it's becoming a really big deal to give out scholarships and do all that kind of stuff. So you obviously want to make sure you've done your due diligence in researching who you're bringing into the program, all that kind of stuff. And I even read somewhere, you know, Penn State had pulled an offer from a recruit because they were looking on their social media and saw some things that were inappropriate and all that kind of stuff. And believe me, that's a common practice nowadays. So I think with all that stuff, with all social media, with all that Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff, sometimes the young men don't understand that those are avenues to which can really show what they're truly about, and maybe not even them, maybe the people that they're around or whatever. You know, it's just something that they gotta be careful with.
Great point, Coach. And it looks like we actually have a caller that has a question. Do you mind if we take a quick question?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Let's see if we can patch this person in. Hello, you're in the BYGP locker room with Coach Wood and Coach White. Who do we have tonight?
Jaquel Pitt.
Hey, Jaquel, how's it going? Do you have a question for Coach White?
Yes, Coach White. My question is, what does it take to play Division I football?
That's number one, academics, number one, because no matter how talented any young man is, if they don't qualify for a scholarship or they don't qualify to get into school, there's nothing you can do. As a coach, there's nothing you can do. So that's number one. Academically be set up in order to receive what you should be based off of your athletic talent, number one. Number two, that's a tough question because every program is looking for something different. You know, the number one evaluation tool for all college coaches is the film. I mean, your film on game day, you know, what you do under the lights, not what you're doing in 7-on-7, not what you're doing, you know, at high school footwork drills, all that kind of stuff. It's what you're doing when the lights are on and the refs tee it up. That's it. And that's the telltale sign. You know, it's always recruiting. Sometimes people don't understand recruiting is based off of what you can get. So obviously if you can get, you know, the number one wide receiver in the country, then that's who you're going to be looking at, comparing everyone to is the number one wide receiver in the country, you know, as opposed to every position. That's with every position. So it's always number one evaluation tool is always the film. And from there, you know, obviously if you're a good player, if you got, whether you're big, strong, fast, whatever it is, then if you stand out, then college coaches will take notice.
Okay.
All right, good question, Jaquel, and we appreciate you calling in. Thank you. And that's a great point, Coach, is that, you know, the film is the eye in the sky doesn't lie, like they used to say when I was playing. So for a kid to kind of catch you guys' attention, is it best for him to send the film personally or have his coach send the film? What's the best way to get your attention?
You know, every school in the country has a directory, and online, I'm pretty sure every school in the country has a way of making sure that the prospects can get in touch with the area recruiter from any school that they want. So, really, if they go online, it don't matter how the film gets there, as long as the film gets to the right coach. That's number one. You know, the film has to get to the right coach. You can, you know, our head coach gets film all the time, but he don't have time to look at it. So we have a system, just as every school in the country has a system of which recruits get evaluated. So number one is find out who's responsible for the school and get them the film. That's all you can do. And a lot of the stuff, a lot of the information is posted online, so it wouldn't be hard to find.
How early would San Diego State, I know some of these coaches and schools go as early as eighth grade, which is crazy, but how early does San Diego State offer a prospect if they really like them?
It just depends. I mean, we don't move too early, just because we like recruiting to the end. We like recruiting all the way through signing day, because we feel that there's a lot of really, really good football players and a lot of football players that fall through the cracks. And we want to be one of those programs that finds a guy on their way up. You know, we don't want a guy who topped out his sophomore, junior year, and then all of a sudden he doesn't have a great senior year, and you're stuck with a guy who's, you know, who's maybe entitled or not trying as hard because he thinks he's already made it. We want the hungry guy. We want the guy who all of a sudden popped up and had a great season, and now the light just turned on and his ceiling is much higher. So we don't move too fast, because we try to make do and make sure that everybody gets looked at and make sure that we find those guys who end up being really, really good football players for us.
Fabulous information, Coach. And last question for tonight, because we want to allow you to get back to your film study and the other things on your plate. I know that you have a bunch of talented young men in that defensive back locker room and in the film room, and I know probably sometimes it gets hard to slot kids into the depth chart. But what is it about a particular kid, or whether it's somebody that you're already working with or somebody in the past that you've worked with, what are some of the things that have caught your attention to give a kid some playing time?
That probably goes back to the mantra of any program. I mean, here at San Diego State, you know, we want to be known. When people watch us on film, on TV, and they hear about San Diego State or see our logo, we want guys who are going to be tough. You know, they're going to be tough, they're going to be physical, and do things the right way. So that's the guy that we bring in here. It doesn't matter what position, from O-line, D-line, to wide receivers, to DBs, we want tough guys who are overachievers. You know, guys who are gonna be low maintenance guys, and you don't have to be on to get the basic stuff done. And we found out that the guys, usually if they're low maintenance and they know how to take care of business, they're usually better football players. But if you get the guys who are high maintenance and, you know, don't go to school, don't do all that kind of stuff, all those outside distractions end up affecting their play on the football field. So the guys who have played a lot of football here, the guys, especially in the defensive backfield, the guys who have gone on even to get drafted and all that kind of stuff, there's one tangible characteristic about all of them, and that's they were all tough guys. They're all tough overachievers, and that's what we're looking for, and that's how we coach the guys, and that's our mantra. So it's been a good formula for us, and it's been a good formula for the young men to obviously get to 4 straight bowl games and to put some guys in the NFL and do all that kind of stuff, and we're just going to keep on going.
Wow, well, that is some great information, great content, and insight, Coach. We really appreciate the time, and go Aztecs.
Thank you guys for having me again. Anytime, anywhere, always just lucky to give back to the game. It's given so much to me. Thank you, guys.
Perfect. You have a good one, Coach. We'll be in contact.
Okay, you too. Thanks. Bye.
All right, so there you guys have it. That was Coach Tony White from San Diego State University. This is somebody that played at a big-time level at UCLA and then is now coaching at a Division I-A level. They've got great talent at San Diego State, and they're really producing a strong team. Hopefully some of you guys can suit up for the Aztecs one day. And Coach White is just one of the people in our network, so great to have him on. Tune in on Thursday for another great BYGP Locker Room show. We have former player at USC and Detroit Lions star Johnny Morton, wide receiver. Broke many records in the Pac-10 before it was the Pac-12 and had a great NFL career as well. You want to tune in to hear what Johnny has to say. He's got some good advice for you, some things that young players need to look out for, and some nuggets of advice that are going to give you an easier path to success. So hopefully you guys got a lot out of tonight. If you haven't checked out all the content we have on our website, please check us out at www.beforeyougopro.com. We would love to have you join our family or even read one of our newsletters one day. So that is it for tonight. I am your host, Coach Terrence Wood, signing off for Before You Go Pro and the rest of the Before You Go Pro team. We will see you at the top. Have a good one. Hey, 'cause girl, I like you.